How did you get into this space of valuations and mergers and acquisitions and different things like that?
Oh, by accident. You know, nobody wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to go become an appraiser today. You know, it right. was just by accident. That was my first job out of college, and turned out I was half good at it.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, we are talking about valuations and how do we actually find out what something is worth. And to have this conversation, I have with me Bharat Kanodia, who is the CEO over at Veristrat. Bharat, how are you doing today?
I am well. Thank you for having me, Seth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is such an interesting topic because everybody seems to always have an idea of what something is worth. You know, in news at the time of this recording, Elon Musk just bought Twitter. And so I just feel like people are always really interested in putting their opinion on what something is worth. And so I think it's really valuable for us to dive in a little bit and maybe actually look at what are some of the classifications, whether we're looking at businesses or podcasts or the wonders of the world or NFTs, whatever it is, what can a process be where we can kind of identify what something is worth if it's possible. So that's certainly not something I know a ton about, but I have a lot of questions. Excited to learn more about this. How do you tell people, I guess when people come up to you and ask you, okay, what do? How do you tell them what you do?
I tell them what their companies are worth. You know, people, when they're looking to invest in a company or they're looking to buy a company or sell a company, step one is for them to understand what their asset is worth. And I tell them that.
Love it. And you've done some really fun stuff on YouTube. I could mention some of the videos, but I'd love to hear from you. You know, what are some of the most fun videos that you've made on your YouTube channel?
Oh, we did so many. We had fun with that channel. We did a CPA practice. We did a auto dealership. We've done the Golden Gate Bridge, the Eiffel Tower. We've done a sign company. We've done a general contractor. You know, we've done a restaurant, we've done a e-commerce company, a SaaS company, a retailer business, an auto body garage. I mean, there's so many. So, I mean, my videos were created to give owners an insight about their business.
Right. And do you remember how much the Golden Gate Bridge is worth?
Well, today it's worth about $10 billion.
Love it. Could people buy? Is that buyable?
If you Google, go ahead and Google right now. What is the Golden Gate Bridge worth?
All right, let's see what comes up. And around $10 billion. And it looks like an Inc.com article by Bharat Kanodia.
There you go.
That's awesome. So how did you get into this space? Take us back. And how did you get into this space of valuations and mergers and acquisitions and different things like that?
Oh, by accident. You know, nobody wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to go become an appraiser today.
Right.
You know, it was just by accident. That was my first job out of college, and turned out I was half good at it. And
was that real estate appraising?
There are all kinds of appraisals. Yes, I've done real estate as well. Machinery and equipment, heavy industrial equipment. And now I do companies or startups. I mean, you know, startups need evaluation every step of the way, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they don't have any startups don't have a profit. They're lucky if they have a product or if they have revenue. Yet they need to attract investors, they need to attract customers and employees. And how do they do that? They do that by using a pie in the sky currency called valuation.
Right. Yeah. So there's so many different directions these questions could go. I think of obviously a lot of people have seen Shark Tank. Valuations is a big conversation there. I'm curious, do you think that the valuations coming into Shark Tank are usually too high, too low, unrealistic? When you look at something as public as that, where a lot of people would probably, that's probably where they kind of start learning about business valuations, at least over the last decade. What are your thoughts about that world of business valuations?
I think Shark Tank valuations are probably fairly realistic, honestly. I think the valuations that we see in the venture capital or what you might see on the news channels or TechCrunch, those are heavily inflated. Mm-hmm. Shark Tank valuations are fairly grounded compared to those.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really interesting to see. And, you know, obviously tech, it seems like in some companies you're looking at multiple X revenue. In tech, it seems like they just pick a number that they want to go for. So how do you start this journey of business valuations? When somebody comes to you and they say, I need to know what my business is worth, where does that conversation go? And kind of walk us through, is there some kind of framework that you think that people should be thinking about when they're thinking about how much their company's worth?
Yeah, I mean, companies are worth anything for three reasons. One is a company is giving you a certain amount of cash flow year over year, right? So you take the cash flow, the prospective cash flow the company is supposed to give you for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you present value that to today, right? That's one way of valuing a company. The second way of valuing a company is similar to how they appraise houses. Right, my neighbor's house was sold for $100, so my house is worth over about $100. The third way is looking at cost approach, or looking at what will it cost to rebuild or recreate. What would it cost to rebuild my house from the ground up today? $100? Well, then that's what it's worth. Mm-hmm. Now, all these three methods, right, the income approach, the sales approach, and the cost approach, these are not these cannot stand in silo, right? It's a combination of these three approaches that is really the right answer. And it's not the average, right? Depending on what you use it for. So say, for example, if you're looking at for insurance purposes, you're relying more on the cost approach. If you're looking at it from an investment perspective, maybe you're looking at it as from an income approach or from a sales approach. If you're looking at it from a public markets perspective, you're looking at it from a more sales approach. Mm-hmm. So it depends on your perspective, depends on your vantage point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's interesting. And it's not a one size fits all solution, which is why on something like Shark Tank, you have people coming in and it seems like they're all over the place. And some people are basing it off of cash flow and some people are just picking a number that they think would be, good. And it's all over the place as far as how people really approach valuations. Do you think that it's important? Do you think every business should know what they're worth, even if they don't want to sell? Or do you think this is something that we should just be having these conversations if we're trying to sell or we're trying to raise money?
Was it beneficial to us to have a report card at the end of the year or at the end of every semester in school or college? I mean, it told us where we stood, how we did, right? If we did well in physics or chemistry or English or literature or Spanish or physical training. You don't need to have a report card, but I think it solidly helped.
Right.
It told you where you were and where you needed to improve and what you were great at. Evaluation is just a report card.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you how you're doing. If you're putting in 60, 80 hours a week as a business owner, it tells you if you've actually created value.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. And obviously report cards, most people would say that they were important, but it's, what do they say? If it's not measured, it can't grow. Just the importance of continuing to look at this. What about when you get into some of the more speculative things? I know, you know, on your website, you say you guys have done different valuations for crypto and NFT. How have you approached things that are a little bit more wild and speculative, like cryptocurrencies and NFTs in your work?
I don't like to do crypto because I just feel I'm not very smart that I understand cryptocurrencies, or at least their valuations. NFTs is something I understand.
Yeah. Tell me more about
NFTs,
that.
NFTs, I think I can put my arms around. Because NFTs are valued just the way you would value art, right? So if one Van Gogh is worth $20, well, it's highly likely the other Van Gogh is probably worth around $20. And NFTs are similar. They're just a online asset, a virtual asset. Crypto, on the other hand, could be anything. I have no fucking idea. I mean, it could be, I don't know, pick a number.
Yeah.
I'm not smart enough. So we've done NFT valuations, which are a lot of fun, which are doable. When people come to me and say that, hey, they're starting a new coin and they want us to value it, I'm like, dude, I can't value it. You get what you get for it.
Right.
You know, that's the starting point. If somebody came to me 12 years ago, hey, value Bitcoin, I would have said the same thing. I'm like, dude, whatever you can get for it, that's the starting point.
Right.
Even today, if somebody told me what Bitcoin is worth, I have no idea.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. And again, there's aspects of valuation that are speculative. There's aspects that are, you know, there's formulaic. There's formulas that you can apply. But I think the point of this is it's harder to think through than it's just not a one size fits all. So for some of our listeners, a lot of our listeners are business owners. Let's just pick, I'm in the service space. We're a podcast agency. I think these conversations are good just to dive into more specific things. Obviously, I'm not looking for an unofficial consult here, but like for service-based businesses, maybe in the agency world, what are some of the criteria that people should be thinking about when thinking about valuing their company? And maybe some of the things that business owners should be looking at adjusting or improving that would increase the value of their company?
There are two things they need to do, and I have developed a video on this. It's called Double Valuation. It's called How to Double Your Valuation. And there are two things that you need to do. One is buyers of businesses like to buy businesses that provide consistent cash flow. So if you have a business where the same customer is paying you on a weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly basis, that's a good business to be in. And secondly, buyers like to buy businesses where you don't need to do much to service that customer or that client. How do you do that? You can do it by two ways. You can either have a lot of automation, use a lot of software to service a client, or you can have multiple layers of management. Multiple layers of management are expensive, so you need to have a big company to have multiple layers of management. So how do you implement that in small business? You do that by having different tools and methods of automation. So you know, to this, people say that, hey, my business is very high touch. It can't be automated. Yes, it can. I mean, not everything about your business can be automated, but some portions can be. For example, in my business, one of the things we need to do is, review client information. So, you know, there's a software that helps us review client information. There's a software that helps us search for client comparables. One of the things that we need to do is take down notes from our phone calls, right? Well, we have a software that helps us transcribe those phone calls. So my business is not 100% automated, but it's highly automated. So it depends on the work that you do, right? I mean, so, you know, you don't think that if your business is not 100% automated, you're a failure. No, start at 20%, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. Start somewhere, but don't just not do it by saying it can't be automated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting approach to like think about the automation piece of it. I think many people, when looking at their valuation, they just think, okay, we just got to make more money. Explain to me why, you know, just increasing the top line of revenue might not necessarily always be increasing the valuation as quickly as people might think.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're just increasing the top line, maybe you're just adding more burden to the system. Your system can't take that much capacity. So every incremental service or product that you're putting out, you're making less and less money, which is never good.
You've done a lot with mergers and acquisitions too. Are there any kind of key characteristics that you've seen between businesses that are having successful exits or being acquired in favorable ways? Are there some characteristics that you see?
Two things. Again, same thing. I go back to the basics, Seth. I don't bullshit. If somebody tells you anything other than these two things, they're lying to you. The two things are buyers of businesses want consistent cash flow. They want to sit on their butt, not do anything, and enjoy that cash flow. And secondly, you have to service that customer or that client using automation so that the new buyer doesn't have to do much or jump through a lot of hoops to enjoy that cash flow. If you can do these two things, your business is worth a lot of money.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. That's so simple, going back to those two things, but also I think everybody listening could probably think of ways that you could increase or do a better job at those two things. As we kind of bring this to a close, I'm just curious, like, what are some of the most interesting things that you've ever been hired to put a value on, or maybe interesting business types?
I've valued all kinds of weird things. I've valued a copper mine, a dam, highways, Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, Atlanta Airport, Alaskan Pipeline, Uber, Airbnb. I mean, all kinds of weird things.
Is the Golden Gate Bridge, is that for sale? Like, could somebody buy it? Who owns that?
No. Many of these valuations were either done for accounting or insurance. So the Golden Gate Bridge Authority needed to take out insurance on the bridge. So they need to know what that bridge is worth. So we told them what that
bridge is. How did you come by that? There's no, well, I guess there is cash flow because of the tolls. You've ever driven across Golden Gate Bridge? It's not free. But how did you go about valuing the Golden Gate Bridge?
You have to take out the whole mystique of that Golden Gate Bridge, right? So say, for example, if you're a surgeon and you are performing a heart surgery on Tom Hanks, well, you got to stop thinking that you're performing a heart surgery on Tom Hanks. To you, it's just another Joe, right? So when I am doing a valuation for a Brooklyn Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge, I have to stop thinking about the mystique and the grandeur of what that asset is. I have to put that aside. For me, it should be just another building or just another complex piece of infrastructure. So that's what you have to do. And then you have to think about that. Hey, what would somebody have to pay if they were to buy it? Or what would a similar asset sell for in the open market? Or what would it cost me today to rebuild this bridge from the ground up? If you can answer those questions, you can value that bridge.
This has been really interesting, Bharat. What's the best way for people to stay in touch with you and You were even just telling me an interesting YouTube series you guys have coming up for season two. So tell our audience what's going on and how can people get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is go to my YouTube channel. It's called What's It Worth. On the About Us page is a way to reach out to us. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer any evaluation concerns you have.
Bharat, this has been wonderful. Really interesting stuff here. And thank you so much for being willing to come on and share some of your insight with our audience.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.